What's up, everybody? Welcome to Advice Not Taken. I'm your host, Jamie Kilstein. We are snowed in Texas. Texas does not know what to do when it snows. It's very much like, can we shoot it? And you go, no. And they go, can we take its rights away? And you go, you can't do that to the weather. And then they're like, ah, I don't know. And then we're like, just put salt on the road. That's what we did in New Jersey. You just put salt on it. And they're like, we only use that for barbecue. And you're like, fuck, man. Okay. Texas, I feel safer than ever in Texas. I have a gun. All my friends have guns. Everyone's concealed carrying all the time. When it snows, I feel like we're like, if terrorists invaded the United States, there is no other place I would rather be than Texas. If there is an inch of flurries, put me literally anywhere else. Literally anywhere else. People turn into maniacs. Everything's closed. I briefly had like a truck, and now I'm back to my old fucking Los Angeles ways, and I have a tiny little wiener car, and I can't fucking do anything on these roads. I can't do anything. So I'm stuck inside. I have no co-host. I have no studio. But what I do have is a lot of heart. This episode is going to be very short because I am sick. I just got back from Florida. I got sick on the plane, I guess. And so I'm sick. I'm snowed in. But I can't miss a fucking episode, you guys. I can't miss an episode of this show. I love you too much. Today's episode is brought to you by LogCast. Guys, LogCast is... they're the fucking shit. They're the reason this show, they're one of the reasons this show exists. When I get back into the fucking studio, we got some LogCast. We're going to do an episode on it. If you guys want to leave a voice memo to be played on the show, to be answered by me and whoever's co-hosting the show, Madeline, a special guest, whoever, you can go right now to the Apple App Store. You can download LogCast. It is fucking for free. And they'll know you're supporting us, and they'll keep giving us money, which is fucking great. And then we also get to have, we get to talk. Hey, has Kevin left an update on if he's gone to church yet? Has Kyle left an update if he's dead? I think he's good. Give an update, everybody. Give some fucking updates. Leave a log, as they say, which definitely sounds like a shit, but it's fine. So go check out LogCast. Guys, when I first moved to Texas, it was the great snowpocalypse. And I did what most people did, which is I saw a news story and I go, well, this is fucking fake. They were like, hey, watch out. The snow's, it's going to be bad. And I was like, oh, yeah, just like COVID and 9/11. Just kidding. God, now I can't use this as a clip. I'm going to use it as a clip. You know, when it first snowed, I didn't realize how terrible Texas would handle it. So when it first snowed, I was like, taking videos outside. I was playing with dogs in the snow. I was sending videos to my family, and I was like, we got Christmas early. And then literally the next day, I was putting pool water into a pot so that I could carry it back like a fucking wench in Days of Old to put into the back of my toilet so that I could flush a shit. And I was like, why did I move here? I was already so depressed. I remember I met a girl like right when I moved to Texas. And I've probably told this story before or like a version of it. But, you know, COVID was the first time that I was single in my life. That's what it took. for me to not be dependent on a relationship. It took a biological viral outbreak. And I remember I told my dad that, and he was like, because my dad's been telling me to be single for a while. And my dad goes, oh, you finally listened to your old man, huh? And I go, no, Dad, I listened to God. That's what it fucking took. If God didn't curse the world with COVID, not saying it was you, Big J, you know what I mean, then I would have jumped into the next relationship. I can tell you actually exactly. I know the exact resident of Tucson, Arizona, that I would have been in a relationship with, because I had sex with her and she was riddled in red flags, and we would have been an item. We would have been an item. But then COVID happened, and then we weren't allowed outside. And that's the only thing at that time that could stop my codependency was mandated lockdowns from the government. Anyway, also, can we talk about that my dad's the only parent who isn't like, go get married, we need grandkids. He's like, take it down a notch, buddy. Holy fuck. So I moved. So I'm alone for, I mean, it must have been a year. And I feel fucking great. This is when I discovered mushrooms and God and meditation. I've definitely talked about this before. And I moved to Austin and I meet a girl right away. I'm not on a dating app. I meet a girl in a diner, and it's so romantic and it's so perfect sounding. And, you know, you hear everybody talk about, this is what I'm going through now. My fucking friends are telling me this now. You know, they talk about, you just wait. You just stop looking for a girl and she's going to show up. You know, I took a year off of dating, and I learned the piano, and then I met my wife in church, and now we have 15 kids, right? Like, and so I did that. I moved to Austin, and then like, bam, dude, week one, I meet this girl, and I'm like, it's almost like a year on the dot. And I was like, well, it fucking happened. All right. And then we kiss. And then she's like, I have some things to tell you. And I was like, uh-oh. And guys, suffice to say, it did not. We had to, you know, we're still friends. But nope, that could not work. Our issues combined, it was like the anti-Captain Planet. Like her issues plus my issues equal like destruction. So no good. And so I was just fucking depressed because I was like, I thought I did it. And like, I don't really know why I moved to Austin. It was kind of on like a whim. And my first week in Austin, I fucking broke my thumb. And so like my boxes weren't even unpacked, and I like couldn't like hang the shower curtain. And it was so fucking awful. Oh yeah, I met her while I was still on a cast. That's right. Oh, I just remembered why. You know what? I'm going to text her and get back together with her. So anyway. Here, you know what? Fuck it. I'll tell you guys. She came over and she goes, she was managing this diner. And she goes, you know, my waitress told me you were really nice and you were like going through some stuff. And like I had my dumb little cast and I was eating with my left hand. And she goes, this meal's on me. She goes, I want, you know, welcome to Austin. And I was just like, I love you. And yeah, so that's how it started. And then roughly a week later, she's like, I have a boyfriend. It was a mess. Anyway, wishing her well. So also legitimately thinking about texting her. She texted me the other day. Guys, stay strong. Okay. So, yeah, the snowstorm happened. I remember walking to go get water. Thank God I did this. And they only had the super expensive water with like the made up stuff in it. And I was like, there was this old neighbor I have whose dog I just like adored. And every time I would talk to her, I was so clearly just wanting to pet the dog. I was like, I'm going to go buy her some water. And I remember like knocking on her door and I was so proud of myself. I'm like, I'm a Texas gentleman. And she was like, yeah, I bought water a week ago. You just bought that now? Like she was a step away from calling me gay. You know what I mean? And Texans, baby. So yeah, man. It seems like we avoided that now. God, I was like showering at my gym. It was such a mess. It was so bad. Anyway, but we're fine. I didn't get to go train, but oh, here's some mental health advice. I can give you some fucking mental health advice. That's what the show is about. I had 2 days. Hopefully, we're back at it tomorrow. But I had 2 days where my plans got canceled today and yesterday. And so yesterday, I just went like full fucking hooky day. I was like, I ate pretty much a loaf of bread because I couldn't go shopping and I just had this loaf of bread. Oh, what made it even more shameful is it was a loaf of bread I bought specifically because I don't really have bread in the house, but I bought it to make sandwiches for homeless people. And then just imagine me just fucking sadly just eating it like a slob. I felt so bad. And then I was like, I can go buy another loaf of bread for homeless people. But man, did it add just another layer of self-hate to it. But it started out fun. It started off like, hooky day, baby. I'm going to make 2 slices of toast. And then that turned into, I'm going to eat a loaf of bread because I hate myself. And then that turned into, you know, just a complete, I'm going to text my ex. Like, it was just a fucking mess. Anyway, so I did that. I didn't go to the gym. Why? Because I'm treating myself. I didn't meditate. Why? Because yuck. I kept telling myself I was going to do work. I was like, just get this writing done. Just get this writing done. Do a podcast. And then I would just like scroll on my phone. And I was so fucking stressed out by the time I went to bed that I couldn't sleep. And probably also because I had sugar and caffeine and anxiety just shooting through my veins. And so today I just go, well, we can't have another day like that. And I woke up. I got an email that I think was good about a thing, about a project. And I did that. I'm kind of like auditioning for. And I did that. I knocked that out. I read. I prayed. I ate healthy. I like cooked all of my meals. And by cook, I don't mean put bread in toaster. Sadly, butter toast aggressively enough that toast is ripping and you just start. It was so bad. And then I went to the gym and just like fucking massacred the heavy bag and then came back and it's like 5 p.m. I'm usually not doing work at night and I'm doing the podcast and I feel so fucking good. And so the reason I'm bringing that up isn't to brag, or is it? It's to be like, the things we tell ourselves are relaxing are kind of fucking us. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you see a kid screaming at Disney World and they're just like, dude, they're just tired. They're sugared out. It's been too much dopamine. And now they're fucking losing their minds. I feel like that's what we do on these off days. We do this on the weekend. Every weekend, it's just we're getting fucking drunk. We're not going to the gym. We're eating shitty. And then we wonder why we're dreading Mondays. Well, we feel like such shit, right? And a lot of us are going to a job we don't want. But like, man, maybe if we use that time on the weekend to actually become a better version of ourselves, like, we could get that job we want, you know? And so, yeah, that's just something I've been going through this week. I had to get the fuck off Twitter. We can talk about it. I haven't talked about politics in a while on this show, but I want to talk about Memphis. I want to talk about this mass shooting that happened in California a week ago. And I want to talk about this trans ice skater. And I'm going to link all these stories together, mainly so I don't have to talk about politics for a long time, but also because, you know, you can go to a news show to hear, like, an analysis of everything that happened. But I just kind of want to talk about how we act in the world and how I used to act in the world and how we can be better people. Oh. Before we get into politics, can I talk about Madeline from last week? She's not here to defend herself. But one of the things that I'm doing... is... Around my apartment, I have post-it notes like a serial killer, but I have like inspirational post-it notes, right? Which me right now, for a guy to say those words, made me feel a little sick. This is why guys, we're so bad with our emotions, but whatever. I have inspirational post-it notes posted around my apartment. And, oh, can I also just say, I've been listening to a lot of country music recently. Shut up. And I remember when I was, like, super on the left, would always make fun of country music. But I'm pretty sure country music is, like, the only place that men are dealing with their emotions in a healthy way. Like, I'm just listening. I'm like, hey, man, he's putting it fucking all out there. If you are dating a country musician, you don't need to ask him how he feels about where the relationship is heading. It is laid out very fucking clear for you. So God bless. Anyway, so my monster friend, Madeline, I have these post-it notes and they are as lame and insufferable as you think they are. Like they're not like, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but for example, if you're trying to lose weight, and maybe you would think about putting a post-it note on the fridge that says, like, eat healthy. My version of it is, be the warrior that God intended you to be. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, go have a good set. It's like, you will play Madison Square Garden and change the fucking game. It's that. I actually just wrote one today that I put on my front door. That this new pastor, who I'm actually a really big fan of, I don't think that's how you say it, but he told me, your goal is always to love and disrupt, like be the disruptor. And I was like, like, that's cool. That sure makes Christianity sound a lot cooler than I thought it was. Anyway, so, and I have like my journal out too. And my journal, once again, it's just like, you know, dear God, please let me help millions of people. It sounds insane. It sounds insane. I remember my friend Aubrey Edwards from AEW. We were out to dinner once and she said, she goes, you know, man, anytime you're having trouble being confident, look at a guy like Donald Trump. He has no right to be president. And he just becomes fucking president just with confidence. And I was like, I'm going to put that on a post-it note on my bathroom mirror. Like, have Donald Trump confidence. But then again, my fear was I'm going to have a girl over. And she's going to be like, what the fuck is this? Because Donald Trump, look, there's a great chance that he's a rapist. There's a great... Guys, you can't get mad at me. There's a great chance that he's a rapist. There's a great chance Bill Clinton's a rapist too. There you go. There are both fucking sides. There's a great chance that two of our presidents were fucking rapists. All right? Are you happy? None of us should be happy at all about that. So when I started writing these post-it notes, I had this idea where I was like, oh, this is great. This is going to help me stop women from coming over. Anytime I feel weak and I'm going to have a woman that maybe I shouldn't have over because I'm taking this, like, you know, celibacy slash waiting until I find a serious partner. Seriously, I'm not going to have a fucking one night stand over. And she goes to my light switch. Let's see what's here. Oh, yeah, I can't even read that to you. It's so cheesy. So I have these post-it notes all over. I forgot about that when Madeline came over last week to record the podcast of mine. And Madeline is a respectful, spiritual, enlightened bitch. Talked about fucking meditation on the podcast for the entire hour. And she just picked it up. No hesitation. Like, if I pick something up of somebody else's, first of all, I'm not doing that. Second of all, if I do and I see it's remotely personal or, like, lame sounding, if I accidentally picked up your poetry, I'm going to put it down right away. And she's just like, ew, what's this? And starts, like, reading it out loud. You're going to play Madison Square Garden? And I was like, give me that. What the fuck are you doing? No apologies. No apologies whatsoever. Just completely invaded my personal space. Guys, it was like, I felt like I was going to throw up. I felt like I was going to throw up. It was so scary. Look, there's a great chance she's never coming back to this apartment. I'm just saying, there's a great chance I will never have a girl in this apartment. There's a great chance that if I fuck up my celibacy, it'll be in another woman's home and not, this is going to be my monk zone, is this apartment. We can no longer record podcasts here because I have friends who I can no longer trust. Okay, let's get to politics. And I say that immediately wanting to hang myself with the microphone cord. I say that looking at light fixtures in my home that could hold my weight. I say that knowing that... Sorry, it's getting too dark. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't. But I want to talk about cruelty, and I want to talk about social media and how it makes us worse people, he says before posting this on social media. You can look at what happened in Memphis. You can look at the mass shooting that happened in California on the Lunar New Year's. You can look at this trans ice skating video that blew up on Twitter yesterday. And if you're looking at it through the eyes of Twitter, you're just looking to make a hot take or a mean joke, right? Here we go. I'll do the Twitter version of that. You know, we're going to talk about Memphis. We're going to the Memphis beating of a black man, we're going to talk about the mass shooting that killed 10 people, and we're going to talk about the worst tragedy of them all, a trans ice skater. And then everyone will go, yay, retweet, get it? Because she's different. And would all applaud. Now look, I am very well aware that I have a lot of conservatives that listen to this show, and I am also aware that I probably have some liberals listening to this show that are just hanging on by a fucking thread and just waiting for an excuse to stop listening to this podcast. And then I have like thousands of really cool people, and I appreciate you guys. But man, I don't even know where to begin. Let's go with the ice skating. It seems impossible. No, we're going to do all of it. It seems impossible to... Nope, I don't like that either. I'm trying... When I think about Jesus, sorry, everybody. When I think about Jesus, I think about love. That's not what I originally thought Jesus was. I thought Jesus was judgment and fear and all this shit. And now I just think about love and I think about compassion. So when I look at a political story, it is no longer through the lens of what team I'm batting for. It is now through compassion and love, right? And makes it a lot fucking harder. And it makes it a lot harder to post snarky tweets. When the video footage of what happened in Memphis came out, at first, I was overjoyed because for the first time in a long time, I saw pretty much all of my conservative friends condemning police brutality. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. That's a real good sign. And then I saw liberal friends point out, where's the Blue Lives Matter crew? Where's the group of people that will defend the police no matter what? And they came out, you know, the people who said, well, you should just comply. And by the way, footage of a white guy getting his fucking head stomped in by cops came out today, and he was complying, right? Now, the old version of me, I wasn't friends with law enforcement like I am now. And you want to know who gets the most pissed off at bad cops? Good cops. And there's an argument to be made that defunding the police is actually going to lead to more bad cops. But I don't want to get into politics now. I don't want to get into strategy. So then I saw people on the right talk about how, you know, the left's being quiet about this because the cops were black. And some of the left was. But then an article by Van Jones came out on CNN. And it was something like, you know, it was titled something like, there were five cops, they were black. This is not the title, this is a bad title, very long, meandering. There were five cops, they were black, they were men, they were in Memphis. Memphis is in Tennessee. My name's Van Jones. I'm a man. I'm black. Welcome to CNN.com. Check out Wolf Blitzer. He's still here. Comes on at 5. I don't know how Larry King is still alive. Please subscribe to us. We are a dying network. No, it was like, the five cops were black, but this is still white supremacy. Now, something that a lot of people don't know is most of the time, authors do not get to pick the title of their article. Most of the time, editors do that. And they come up with the most like trash clickbait title imaginable. Now, again, I think like everything, there's some truth in it. I think that we are used to, there are many examples since the fucking civil rights era where police have profiled, killed, and fucked over black people, right? We can't argue that. It's just, it's a fact. Does that mean that everything that happens is driven by race? No. And in fact, I would argue that you are not really going to get down to the bottom of it if that's your only, if your only solution is get rid of police and everything is racist. It's like, we're not going to get to the bottom of what we need to do and why there are these bad cops and how they're becoming cops and why there isn't more training and how do we hold them accountable? Because look, a lot of the places that have defunded the police, crime's gone up, and that's not fucking good either, right? I want good cops to be cops. I want bad cops to be in jail. And if a liberal is going to get mad at me for that stance, it's like, we're too far gone. The argument became either get rid of the police on the left, or this is racism. And then on the right, it was, haha, the cops were black. So how is this racism? And the story wasn't about this man who lost his life. And, you know, the only thing I posted on my Instagram, maybe on my social media at all, was a video of him skateboarding, being like, hey, man, I'm not going to show the clip of this fucking beating. I'm going to show, like, this dude's life. It was horrible. He was calling for his mom, which we've heard before. And it's just heartbreaking. You know, it's heartbreaking to live in a world where people can be that cruel. There was a mass shooting in California. In an Asian community, an older Asian man shot 10 people. And same deal. The argument was, you know, the left being like, we got to get rid of all guns. And then it was the right going, haha, he was Asian. Where's this like white shooter narrative? And I don't think we should live in a world wherein there's a tragedy. Our first instinct is to pray, not for the victims, but pray that the shooter was on the other team. You know, we shouldn't, the right shouldn't celebrate if the shooter is a they, them, and the left shouldn't celebrate if the people being targeted were they, thems. You know what I mean? We need to figure out why the fuck this keeps happening. And so why people can get driven to the point where they're willing to take innocent lives. How did we get there? Trans ice skater. I've said, on very right-wing shows and on normie shows and on this show, that I don't think that kids should get hormone blockers, and that I don't think that kids should go to sexualized drag shows. Why don't I think that? Because I don't think kids should make many decisions when they're kids, because kids are idiots. I love them, but they're dum-dums. And if I were to make permanent decisions when I was a kid, I would still have a ponytail, and that's not okay. I don't think that kids should watch Pornhub. I don't think kids should go to Hooters. I don't think kids should go to a drag show. Now, the position I get put in, besides people on both sides getting mad at me, is because I say that, because I'm honest about that, and I think a lot of liberals secretly feel that way, but don't want to say anything, I get to then go on these right-wing shows and go, hey, man, I'm being honest about that, but I also want to say that no one's trying to fuck your kid. The gay couple down the street, they're not trying to fuck your kid. They're trying to watch Downton Abbey. They're trying to chill. Just because there are these fucking drag shows happening doesn't mean that every gay person is trying to groom your kid. Doesn't mean that we need to roll back rights on gay people. Doesn't mean that we need to bully trans people. It doesn't mean that we need to cast judgment when we see a trans person. The amount of fear, I was talking to this pastor I love again, and he said, he left me in a voice memo, you know, the amount of fear that they face every day, putting a dress on, putting on fucking heels, going out into a world knowing people are going to think what they want to think, do what they want, what they may do. It's a lot to think about. And I would ask that anyone who thinks less of trans people show some empathy before they show judgment. Okay. So with that said, you know, life's been kind of confusing for me because the majority of people that I follow online who are Christian, which means so much to me, are right wing. And their thoughts on trans people are not as kind as mine. And then I think mine are probably more conservative than a lot of my old liberal friends are. And so when I see them post about kids going to drag shows, or here's an actual like person who is sexualizing children, things that, I mean, don't have to do with someone being fucking gay. It just has to do with them being fucking mentally ill. I go, yikes, that's not good, right? But then this clip came out of this figure skater who is trans. And like, look, man, I'll just say it. Like, look like a chubby guy. Just look like a fucking chubby dude in makeup. Came out and she went out in front of this big audience and like right away she fell. And dudes, my friends, all of you were posting this video and were like, ha ha, look at these fucking mentally ill people. They think they can play sports. Everyone's cheering them on. And like, look at this uggo girl. And she fell. And I remember watching this video and just being so sad. How anyone could watch this video and not be so sad, let alone just mocking this human being who had a dream, went out and tried it, and fucked up. Just because you don't understand their gender, I don't understand their gender. I just like, can we do this shit without cruelty? You know what I mean? Can we not make everything fucking political? Can we look at humans who are suffering as ourselves, which is other humans who are suffering? This life is really hard, and we've all made a lot of mistakes, myself very much included. And I just wish we could do a fucking reset, man. We could just Men in Black all of this and just start with kindness and start with love and start with compassion. And it's not profitable. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that as my Patreon numbers have literally cut in half. By the way, shout out to Ryan and Ethan. Brand new patrons. You can support this show if this message resonates with you at patreon.com/JamieKilstein. But ever since I focused on mental health comedy with a new podcast, you know, and look, it gets cut in half. People have to cancel for different reasons, but also like there's something there. And that sucks, man. You know, by the way, did you know if you're rich, you could just have like a membership for like $50 a month. And that would be like 10 normal people. Patreon.com/JamieKilstein. I'll actually post this episode early up at Patreon as a thank you. So I just like, I know it's hard, man. Like when I get on Twitter or when I start writing, if I've like been on social media for a while, I revert to that like attack mode. That's just like my writing style too. Like I'm a fucking stand-up comic, man. As much as I talk about Jesus and love, like my first instinct is to be like, Donald Trump's a fucking fat tard. You know, like I just like, there. Look, sorry. It's the comic in me. But man, it's like anything. It's like a habit. You just have to catch yourself. When your first reaction is cruelty and you just keep doing that, you're training yourself that that's how you should react. Whereas if your first reaction can be kindness, right? You start reprogramming your brain. And by the way, when you reprogram your brain to be kind to other people, you're probably going to start being kinder to yourself, which we also need more of. I mean, fuck. I'm so mean to myself. So that's it, guys. My voice is shattered right now. It hurts so badly. So I'm going to cut this episode off here. Again, if you want to support the show, you can rate and review it 5 stars. Go write me likey on Spotify, on iTunes, advice not taken. You can join the Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Think about the dumb shit you've spent $5 on. Go support an artist you like. You can go to patreon.com/JamieKilstein. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/JamieKilstein. I am doing stand-up in Hawaii, in Arizona, and a bunch of other places. You can check it out at jamiehilstein.com/tour. I'm going to post a Hawaii sketch today. Even if you don't live in Hawaii, it's going to have my tour dates. If you could share it, like it, comment. I'm fucking shadow banned. It's really frustrating. Also, I don't know if I read this, but shout out to James, who left a really nice comment that Sarah forwarded to me. He goes, "Hey, I appreciate you. This is one of the best podcasts out there. Humor, silliness, raw, real, and life-saving. You're hitting topics in a way that makes people relate to their lives. Love this and love you for sharing your life. It's pretty fucking wild. Godspeed, brother." So thank you for that. I mean, a positive comment on YouTube. Holy shit, right? And then, yeah, I really wanted to do weekly episodes on Patreon. Realistically, I just fucking can't. I think if we like set a goal, like once I'm making $1,000 a month on Patreon, I can do it. But right now it's just like the money's not there. My time isn't there. The voice isn't there. So I'm going to really focus on this. So for those of you who have supported me on Patreon, just like, I appreciate it. And that's one of the reasons that this podcast can even happen. Podcasts are harder than you think. It's more expensive than you think, on top of doing stand-up, on top of everything else that's going on. So really, I appreciate you guys so much. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Tell a friend about the podcast. I'll post some of these clips. I taped it on my fucking phone since I'm at home. But yeah, share them if you like them. Tell people about the show if you like it. And I really love you guys. I'll be in Hawaii, God, next week, maybe? Fucking crazy. Come train jiu-jitsu with me. We can fight. And come see me do stand-up for the first time in Hawaii. I'm very excited about that. February 9th through 14th. Okay. Aloha, y'all.